Welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an online audio ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and Carson City United Methodist Church. You can visit us on the web at www.carsoncityumc.org, or you can visit my blog at www.thepulpiteer.com for more sermons, Bible studies, and other writings.
We are starting a new sermon series during the Easter season, which is church. It's not where you go, it's who you are. Church is not where you go, it's who you are. The thing I want you to think about is I want you to think about the fact that church, in the word church, it means it's talking about a gathering of people. It's talking about a community. It's not talking about a building. And I really want us to think about this. I'm not going to be a word Nazi. I'm not going to yell at you if you say I'm going to church. You're not going to church, you are the church. I'm not going to like beat you up over that, but I do want us to think about it. Because, when you are a part of a church, or when a church cares for you in the midst of a hard time, it's not the bricks and mortar that are caring for you. When a church rallies around people that need prayer, it's not the beams of wood that are praying for you. You go to the church building to worship. But if you are the church, there's even more implications to this. If you are the church, then church is more than Sunday morning. You're not off the hook this afternoon, right? You don't get like 6 days of pagan idolatry and then come clean up Sunday morning. It's you are the church. Wherever you go, at work, in play, with your family, wherever you go, you are the church, the representatives of Jesus Christ in this world. The church is not where you go, it's who you are. So we're going to do this sermon series. And, you know, part of this comes from this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has to matter. It has to matter. It's got to be more than something we remember and get excited about 2 weeks ago. You know, we get excited about the resurrection, we get our Easter ham, and then we eat split pea soup the following week, right? I mean, which is the tradition in our house. We buy ham mostly so we can have split pea soup the next week. But it's more than that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has to be more than that. It actually ought to be the defining thing in our lives. If that's the case, then being the church is about who we are. It's not about where we go. So we're going to talk about this in this series, who we are. And in 1 Peter, we're going to look at the church being who we are. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 to verse 23. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. Would you bow your head to me, please? So, Almighty God, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So with this with this letter, 1 Peter here, we're going to look at some things that tell us about who we are, how we ought to be different, what it means for us to be the people of God. And so today we're going to look at some things that ought to define you. We're going to do it, I don't always do this with days like Mother's Day, but I thought it'd be kind of fun. I'm going to connect them to kind of motherisms, wisdom that we've learned from my mother, motherisms. We're going to do some practice ones here, if you can help me kind of connect these. I think you may know what I'm talking about. See if you can finish this. You may have heard this from Mom. Don't leave the door open. What were you? Born in a barn? Good. One for one. It's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt, or more extreme, until somebody pokes. Yeah, until somebody pokes an eye out. You start to wonder, what was Mom's home like growing up? Like, do all your aunts and uncles have one eye? Like, okay, you need to eat everything on your plate. Don't you know that they're starving children? Yes. It's always Africa, too. It's like, or Ethiopia, yes. Doesn't matter. The starving kids other places, but they aren't as important. The starving kids in Africa think, should we put this in a box and mail it to them? Don't you make that face. It might stay that way. So I don't think that's happened to anyone, but I don't know. So here you've got these wisdom things. The first point we're going to look at is Peter's bringing up that we are sojourners. We're in exile. We're sojourners. We're in exile. Peter begins with verse 17 here. He says, if you consider God your Father, if you invoke God as Father, God your Father who judges everybody according to their deeds, if you think that God is really the one who looks down and sees everything you do, sees your motives, sees your heart, sees everything, if God knows exactly what you do, where you are, judges you impartially, if you invoke that God as Father, God your Father does these things, if you think that's really going down, then you ought to live your life a different way. You ought to live your life in reverent fear of the Lord. Fear, not meaning that I'm afraid God's going to hurt me, but fear is, well, there is some afraid. There's this reverence, there's this fear of God really knows the score. And this judgment really is coming. So I ought to live my life as if my actions matter. If you consider God your Father, live your life in reverent fear. That means that all of our values, how we define our lives, how we live our lives, what we think of as virtuous, these things ought to be defined by God. What does God think is right? If God is going to judge us, I ought to be more concerned about what God thinks about what I'm doing than I am concerned about what other people think about what I'm doing. Got it? Right? I'm more concerned about God's opinions of and God's commands for my life than I am about other people's commands for my life. We are in exile. We are sojourners. This is a strong theme throughout 1 Peter, that we're in exile. And I love that theme. I think it's a very powerful way for us to think about it. People who are sojourners, people who are aliens, are people who don't have the rights of citizenship, but instead are temporary residents of an area. Life in this world is temporary. I've shared this with you before, and I hate to burst your bubble on Mother's Day, but you're all going to die. You're all going to die. Every one of us. Nobody's made it out of this life alive. Life in this world is temporary. It's not forever. We're here for a time. So the kingdoms of this world are not our home. So if it's the kingdom of God that is first our home. If God's kingdom is our home, that means the kingdoms of this world are not our home. We are not first Americans or Canadians or Icelandic or whatever. We are first and primarily Christians. We are citizens of the kingdom of God who are here for a time, like aliens, like sojourners, like people in exile. Your home is not the world the way it's run right now. Your home is not the kingdom of this world. If your home is not from here, then you don't have to act like everybody else in this world. You need to behave as if you really do come from the kingdom of God. This isn't your home, so don't act like it is. So here comes the motherism, when mother says, well, you should know better than that. And then you say, but mom, everybody's doing it. And then mom says, if everybody jumped off a cliff or a building, would you do it too? Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean you have to. You're not from here. You're defined different than that. Just because everybody else may cut corners on their taxes, that doesn't mean you have to. Just because everybody else may treat sex loosely doesn't mean you have to. Just because others will measure your worth by your bank account or your possessions or your position in the corporation doesn't mean you have to. You are different. You are God's people. You're not from here. You're aliens here for a time. Be the church. Second point is this. You've been ransomed at a great cost. The point here is that you were set free from your bondage to sin and death at a great cost. You've been set free from the futile ways of your ancestors. Peter is talking about sinful human nature. That here we are in the midst of broken, sinful human nature, handed down, this is from one generation to the next, we are a part of a broken humanity. And God has set us free. To escape and to be free of that costs something. We're not able to free ourselves. The thing that should come to mind here, especially with the reference to the lamb without blemish, is the Passover lamb. So it's the people of Israel being set free from slavery to Egypt. And if you remember the Passover lamb, they ate the lamb, they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and the angel of death passed over them, and they were set free from Egypt. By this lamb, and we are in slavery, we cannot help ourselves, but God saves us, God rescues us. Now here's the amazing thing. In the midst of our sin, in the midst of our slavery, when we really have nothing to offer God, God loved us. And we can see that because God's love cost him. It's interesting, we use the word love in all sorts of different ways today, and sometimes it's just kind of this warm, mushy feeling that has to do more with what you're giving me. Love, we know, is love because it costs something. God's love costs something. Cost him dearly. Peter writes, "You haven't been ransomed with silver or gold, with things that are perishable. You've been ransomed by the blood of Christ." When we ask how serious is God about saving us, how serious is God about rescuing you, look at the cross of Jesus Christ. How serious is God about changing your life? How serious is God about setting you free from sin? Look at the cross of Jesus Christ. You were ransomed at a great cost. God loves you that much. So what does that say about you? What does that say about how God feels about you? I was thinking about this. What does it say about how God feels about you? That matters, doesn't it? It matters that God would love you that much, because as we start to live into that, that makes a difference in our lives. This week, I got to go into the schools to be a Kids Hope mentor for the first time, and go in there, and that was an awesome experience. And I was thinking about some things from my day's teaching and some things that I'd learned. And one of the things that people who work with kids, one of the terms that they use that you may have heard is self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't know if you've heard this, self-fulfilling prophecy. Basically, the idea is this. If all the adults in a kid's life keep saying to the kid, "You're worthless, you're worthless, you're worthless," what does that kid end up doing? What does that kid end up thinking of himself or herself? And how does that kid behave? Self-fulfilling prophecy. If you tell someone they're worthless enough, they live into that. This is the opposite. This is the opposite. God has said, "I love you, and it cost me this much. You were redeemed at a great price to God. He bought you at a high price. God values you that much." And actually, the Kids Hope mentoring thing is us wanting to come alongside parents and come alongside teachers, and we want to be part of people who say to kids, we want to be part of people who say, "You are worth my time. You are worth my energy. You are worth my caring. You are worth something. You're worth something to me." And that changes things. It changes things for the kids that live into it. For the motherism, I couldn't think of like a specific saying, but I thought of this. Moms can be proud of their kids sometimes, can't they? Right? They pull out the pictures. "Let me show you a picture of my kid." And then sometimes they're even maybe a little biased, right? "Isn't my son the best looking? Isn't my daughter cute? Isn't my baby wonderful?" Right, and moms can be so, and not only that, but you know, a lot of times, moms really sacrifice for their love. My wife, Anne, is a great mother. She's a great mother. She does a wonderful job with the kids and sacrifices a lot. She's eaten a lot of cold meals because of cutting up little things into tiny little bits and pieces so the children don't choke, which apparently is important, I guess. She's lost sleep at nights nursing. There's just been a lot of sacrifices, a lot of going without. That she does out of love for the kids, not begrudgingly. Yeah, it costs something, but it costs something, and she's happy to do it because she loves them. Love costs something. We can learn that from moms, that love costs something, but it's, and then that changes it for you because. As you are loved in that way, as somebody loves you and it costs them, as God has loved you and it costs God, then that kind of that changes things for you. And now the challenge is, you know, live into that. You've been bought with a price. God is serious about transforming you. Live into that faith. If you've I guess for a guy reference, at the end of Saving Private Ryan. You have Private Ryan whose people have died to get this kid back home. And I think it's Tom Hanks at the end of the movie as he's dying, says to him, earn this, right? Like, the Private Ryan, he's trying to wrestle with the fact all these people have died. What do I do? All of the sacrifices happened. What do I do with this? He said, live into this. This is a gift for you. Use it. God has given you the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Don't reject it. God has given you this invitation to a new life where you can be transformed and live differently. Don't walk away from it. Live into that. You've been bought with a price. God values you that highly. Live into that. Be the church. The third point is this. Peter says you've been born anew by imperishable seed. Through Jesus Christ, we have been given eternal life. God will make you new. God will make you new. God loves you no matter what you've done. God loves you no matter what you've done in the past, no matter what your flaws are, no matter what sin is eating away at you. God loves you. God couldn't love you more, and God couldn't love you less. God loves you, and that's it. God loves you. And God forgives you no matter what you've done, and God's forgiveness is always there for you. But God loves you too much to just leave you there. God loves you too much to just leave you broken in your sin, messing up things in your life. God loves you too much for that. God will make you a new person. That's the gospel. In Christ, you have been born again. So that means there ought to be new life rising up within you. And this new life has eternal consequences. Having faith in Christ has consequences after you die. I've already shared with you the bad news that we're all going to die. The good news is this. If you're in Christ, that death is not the end of you. You will be raised again. The choices you make to follow Christ have eternal consequences. You've been born of an imperishable seed, everlasting life. The things that you do in this life have eternal consequences. Have consequences after you die. So the motherism for this, and this may be a bit of a stretch, but I thought it made sense, so whatever that says about me. You know, moms sometimes say this. It helped me if you've heard this. Always make sure to put on clean underwear, because what if you're in an accident? What on earth does that mean? Like, if you're in the hospital, are the nurses like, oh, Andy's commenting on, Pastor Andy's got skid marks. Like, that's, I don't think he's changed his underwear, and it looks like a good 3 days here. I think he turned them inside out, too, because it looks like there's usage on both sides. And, like, if you die, does this come up at your funeral? Hey, you know what? For the most part, pretty decent guy. The whole underwear thing didn't have down. Not good. He didn't change it enough, just so you know. But praise God, he's being cleansed in the name of Jesus now. So here's the stretch. The choices that you make now may have consequences after you die. I know it's kind of a stretch, but anyway. And then all I could think is, like, dirty underwear, we're cleansed by Christ, and the garments that we have. Anyway, I don't know where that went. That one I didn't run by Ann last night before, and so I've got to be careful how far I go. But here's the thing. The choices that you make now do have consequences after you die. Faith in Jesus Christ changes your forever. It changes your eternity. You've been born anew. Jesus changed your forever. So be the church. Live into that. Live out that eternity. You are exiles. Your home is the kingdom of God. Just because the world is doing it doesn't mean that you have to do it too. In fact, you are to behave differently. Be the church. You've been bought with a price. God was very serious about his love for you. It cost God dearly to set you free. So live into that. Be the church. You've been born anew from imperishable seed. Jesus changes your forever, and your change forever starts today. Live into that. Be the church. We are focusing on the church as who you are. So I encourage you today, remember who you are. Remember who you are in Jesus Christ, and remember that God will make you new. Be the church. Live your life as the church. Be the church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is not our time.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I invite you to worship with us in person at Carson City United Methodist Church. We are located at 119 East Elm Street in Carson City, Michigan, or you can find us right behind the BP gas station off of Main Street. Our worship times are at 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:15. This has been Pastor Andy Kroll, and I'm going to turn it over to Rory Miller and Bankman to take us on home.